This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Daisy Jenkins Esquire has been writing since the tender age of 9. When still in elementary school, Jenkins scripted her very first play, and she's been refining her storytelling skills ever since. Her inspiration and ideas are often born out of her own lived experiences. With passion and compassion, Daisy's work often addresses issues of social injustice that most impact her life and the lives of her loved ones. As a black woman in America, Daisy's writings are informed by her firsthand accounts. Daisy Jenkins Esquire, award-winning author, motivational speaker, educational advocate, and philanthropist, our guest next on today's This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now.
You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4530. 802-341-4530. 802-341-4530. That's 802-341-4530.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-817-2871. 800-817-2871. That's 800-817-2871.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. The critically acclaimed Heaven on Earth by Daisy M. Jenkins is described as science fiction with a social justice twist. A great and insightful look at what could be the Earth's future. A great concept grounded in reality. On a historic space mission, 5 female astronauts soar into the galaxy only to discover that their intended destination has mysteriously changed to an unknown planet. They land on planet Eartha, which is similar to planet Earth, except its population is 98% female, and it's ruled by 10 powerful female leaders known as Supreme Highnesses. Daisy M. Jenkins Esquire is president of Daisy Jenkins & Associates, a retired human resources executive with more than 40 years of experience in the defense and healthcare industries. She has written 2 previous novels, also published several articles for The Root, Ebony.com, and The Huffington Post. Daisy holds bachelor's and master's degrees in communication from the University of Hawaii and Juris Doctor from the University of Arizona James E. Rogers College of Law. She's a member of the State Bar of Arizona. A woman of faith, staunch education advocate, mentors diverse professions across the country. Daisy and her husband Fred have been married 54 years, have 2 sons, 10 grandchildren. Daisy Jenkins Esquire, author of Heaven on Eartha, selected as top 10 science fiction by reviews and trends magazines, is our guest on This Week in America. Daisy, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's great to be here.
I love this book. I didn't want to give away too much because I'll let you tell the story as much as you want to. It's such a fascinating concept. Where did this concept begin? How did you come up with this idea, this novel presentation of this story?
Well, it actually began in the 1970s. Believe it or not, women were just being allowed to participate in Toastmasters. Prior to the 70s, I think 73, it was all male. And I was actually working at Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard in Hawaii. And I participated in Toastmistress, but I noticed that all of the key folks were, and they were the guys who were leaders, were Toastmasters. So I said, I want to join Toastmasters. So they finally let me join. So I actually spoke and, you know, did several speeches. And one of my speeches, I actually represented Hawaii in a humorous speech contest. And the title of the speech was Heaven on Eartha. And it really, again, it was a planet run by women. And it had a few men. And the men who were there actually had cycles since similar to women's menstrual cycles, but through their ears. It was different. But at any rate, I actually went to California to represent Hawaii. And I was the only woman there, the only woman of color. And my speech got a standing ovation. And when they announced the winner, they announced another guy, and I came in second. Well, the audience wasn't happy with that.
Yes.
But my husband kept telling me that speech was so good, you need to write a book on that. So finally, now we're talking 30 some years later, I decided to write a book. But I could not make this book humorous with so many things, with all of the misogyny, the racism, the just the vitriol that we hear. I could not put humor in it. So I decided finally to make Heaven on Eartha, again, a woman, a planet run by women, but also a place where there could be reckoning and redemption for some of the players on our planet Earth, especially in our country, who were just devious in nature. And so, and that's how the book evolved. It was just, it started out as it was going to be humorous, but I couldn't find any humor in today's environment. So,
what a transformation the story has taken. And it's amazing reading the reviews. They're better. People are entertained and they're enlightened by what you're writing. It's presenting it, problems in a different way, and sometimes a different perspective, a different look gives us a whole different picture of what we see out there. And let's talk about in a second here some of the issues, the social issues that you address. And you've done this so eloquently in your career, in your other books and the articles that I had talked about. Let's go back to Heaven on Eartha. You've got the travelers. Explain who they are. We'll sort of lay the premise and then talk about the issues they have to account for.
Sure. So the Supreme Highnesses, those 10 beautifully diverse women, and very, very smart, decided that, well, they actually had sent some, I would say, emissaries to planet Earth. And of course, they looked so, they had human qualities, physical qualities, so no one were able to detect them. But then they noticed, especially in our country, the issues around social injustice, they looked at human trafficking, the exploitation of young girls, slumlords, and even in the church, they noticed all of these things. And so when their travelers went back to planet Eartha, they recommended to the Supreme Highnesses that we need to bring five of those characters back to planet Eartha for a reckoning. And the way they were able to use this, there was an all-female astronaut crew, and they diverted their spaceship to planet Eartha. And introduce themselves in a very unique way that readers should see, because it's incredible. And they actually use, I shouldn't say use, but they actually allow those women to go back to Earth after their introduction to the issues. And they were sent back to Earth to bring five despicable characters. And the way they did this, they created this national space lottery. And so these five characters who thought they were randomly selected were actually pre-selected by the Supreme Highnesses. And anyway, they thought this was a journey of their lives. They were going to this planet and everybody in the world was watching them. And oh, it was just incredible. But then once they get to Eartha and they go through astronaut training and all of that, then they meet the Supreme Highnesses. And it's so interesting because some of them, especially a couple of the men, there were four men and one woman. And he was like, well, where are the men? You can't have a planet this with all of this technology and with all of this advancements. Wow. There have to be men somewhere. And I'll just give one little funny scene. They are at this amazing hotel and there are two men approach them, the bellman. And he was like, oh, thank God, I knew there were men somewhere. And then the men in this kind of a staccato type of language, it was clear to them that they were actually robots. So at any rate, these five characters experience a time of reckoning. For instance, the slumlord had an opportunity to spend time in the most dilapidated, the most uninhabitable environment, so that he knew firsthand, had an opportunity to see, this is what you are exposing your clients. They are experiencing this on a daily basis, your tenants. And so there's the reckoning, and then there's the redemption, where the Supreme Highnesses give them an opportunity to go back to Earth and know that they're going to be monitored and followed by these supreme beings, and they have to change their ways and become advocates for doing what's right for the people in their environment. What? And so it's whether it was the church, whether it was the woman who exploited young girls and on social media made them think they weren't beautiful and they had to be skinny and they had to look a certain way. And girls were, you know, just destroying their sense of well-being and their self-esteem. And this happens in our nation. It's like, gosh, I wish I could do some of this. I've had people say, do you think that planet exists? And I said, no, it's a figment of my imagination. But who knows? Maybe it does exist.
Well,
if it does, I hope they do something soon.
Well, yes, grab somebody quickly and let's try to get somebody that's...
Yeah,
I've got a list here too. I was making it as you were talking, so we'll compare a list when we get finished. You're able to tackle these issues in a way that's—it's not just sitting down and here's this presentation by Daisy and it's dry and it's not going to resonate. You're doing this in a story form, a very enchanting story that grabs the reader. Our guest on the program is Daisy Jenkins. The book is called Heaven on Eartha. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. I'll direct you to Daisy's website as well, daisyjenkinsandassociates.com. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about how long it actually took you once you decided after 30 some years to actually sort of do an update on Heaven on Earth. How long did it take you to come up with the story, to craft the story, to do the research? Because I know that was important for you to keep this believable. So many readers say it's a story that appears to be very realistic. I feel like I'm reading something that could actually happen. How long did it take you to tie all of these elements?
It took me about a year and a half, and did a lot of research on spacesuits. And I mean, all of activities that go that surround an astronaut. Who are these despicable characters going to be? And I finally decided, I said, I'm not going to have a political character. You read the book and there may be a surprise. But I said, no, I've got to find these folks that I see who are wreaking such damage and creating such turmoil. And that's when I decided on the slumlord and the woman who degradates the bodies of young women and just causes major damage to their self-esteem. And a minister who was exploiting his parishioners and his congregation by pretending to do healing and selling all of this stuff. And people give their last dollars and he's living and having jets and stuff. You can see it was like, I got to find these people and they have to go to Eartha and they have to have their reckoning. So it took me about a year and a half. I probably had about 2 months of writer's block.
It's such a remarkable job that you've done. And again, receiving excellent reviews and these people that are reading and understanding, boy, this is a difficult world we're living in now. There are so many issues that need to be addressed out there. And at some point, we're going to all be held accountable for this. And you do such a nice job of bringing it all together. What kind of response are you getting from the readers? I'm looking at the reviews and seeing, boy, this is just, it's eye-opening for people. As I say, entertaining as well as very enlightening. What kind of response are you getting?
I'm getting great responses, praise the Lord. And, you know, the first thing people, when they read my books, they want to know, where does this come from? Where do you create all of this stuff? And, you know, And how did you come up with the five your Supreme Highness, the 10 Supreme Highnesses, and the five female astronauts, who I have to say are amazing? And I know the feedback is people are saying, one woman said, you know, I said, I'm going to just read this book because I know Daisy. And she said she started reading it maybe at 8 o'clock at night. And she said, I could not sleep. I stayed up all night and read the whole book. And so, I've just been so blessed with the positive feedback. And it's been heartwarming.
More with our guest, Daisy Jenkins, right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now.
You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4530. 802-341-4530. 802-341-4530. That's 802-341-4530.
Hi, My name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-817-2871. 800-817-2871. That's 800-817-2871.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4530. 802-341-4530. 802-341-4530. That's 802-341-4530.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Now more on today's This Week in America with award-winning author Daisy Jenkins. Daisy's website is daisyjenkinsandassociates.com. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about this imagination that you have, how you're able to take all these concepts and tie them all together. How difficult is that for you, or does it come natural for you to be able to see the world this way with this vivid imagination and become the master storyteller that you are?
Well, thank you. I've always had a vivid imagination. I'll tell you a little secret. When I was a little girl living in Georgia in the 1940s, I mean, at 74 years old in 1 month. And, you know, we were not a wealthy family, but a loving family. My father and mother, and there were seven of us. And so at night I would see shadows, you know, in the windows from the moonlight and the leaves just moving around. And I would, in my mind, create these fictional characters. And I actually wrote my first play at 9 years old. But I didn't think about publishing because, of course, I had a career and everything. And then when everyone said, Daisy, you need to retire. I mean, my goodness. And I decided, you know what? I know that there's some God-given talent here, and there is no way I am not going to take advantage of it. And so that I actually started writing books in the 60s, excuse me, in my 60s. and it's just, I have, my husband always says, he says this, I can't believe I sleep with this woman who has this very weird imagination at times. And that's because of my first book, when there were some chemicals that were being used. And he says, that's kind of scary. But it's something I've been blessed with. And I've tried to use it for good. You know, it's how do you take something ugly and turn it around for good? That's exactly what I want to do and I try to do in my writing.
Well, and that's what you've been able to do. And as you're reading Heaven on Earth and reading information on the books that you've written, the articles that you've written, we've got some major problems out there. And we're now in a new year. It's 2022. How are we making any progress? Are we addressing any of these issues? Just when I think maybe we are, we seem to take a step, maybe a giant step, backwards. Are we making any progress?
You know, we are. I walk in the mornings, and oftentimes when I'm by myself, that's my prayer time. And so I'm always asking God, you know, why is all this stuff happening? And we need healing, and we need someone to, you know, we need to change this stuff. And so it was an epiphany for me, because all of a sudden this thing came in my mind that, you know what, you're talking about what everybody else should do, then and I do things, but what can you do? And so this thought came in my head, this book title, and it's called We See You. And it's my next book that should be out next year. But I'm interviewing this year now. I'm interviewing about 50 men of different backgrounds and different cultures and ethnicities, and asking them, how do they see themselves and how do they want the world to see them? And I wanted to do that because even though they are diverse, there is so much commonality. And I'm talking about police chiefs, head of sheriff's department, corporate executives, lawyers, doctors. It is amazing. Guys who spend time in prison, they all want, there is this heart for goodness that it doesn't make headlines. And so that's how I'm hoping that I can help make a difference, so that people can see that even though we have differences, we can still have a conversation. We can still share with each other and talk about issues. And most of all, we can see that there are good people in this nation that we don't hear about.
Is that where your energy comes from? And I ask that because you often see people that have fought battles over their decades, and they get to late 60s, early 70s, and it's like, I'm going to turn this over to the younger generation. I fought my battle. And step out of it a little bit. You seem to be, and I don't know you necessarily to say this, but more energized now. I can't imagine you being more energized 20 or 30 years ago than you are now. Is that where you draw the energy from, the fact that you feel that you can still contribute, get people to think, get people to talk?
Absolutely. I mean, there is no rocking chair.
You know,
I have grandchildren, lots of grandchildren. I have sons, I have nieces, nephews, and I have to do what I can to make a better world for them. And so I don't have the luxury of sitting back and waiting for someone else to write these things or to bring to the attention that there are wonderful men. By the way, since Heaven on Earth was women, the next book is about men, that there are amazing men in our country that no one recognizes. So yes, it's a passion. And because of that passion, there's energy and of course being blessed to be able to write. And so you just can't do enough.
When you were growing up, who were the people that motivated you, your inspiration during that period that you realize I can do all of this if I want to and set my mind out to it, and you've accomplished that?
I lived in an environment where the village was very important, because when I was in high school, I went to segregated schools until eighth grade. And when we moved to California, where I thought, oh, that's a land of milk and honey, no more problems.
Oh, yes.
And I had a counselor who said, even though I was one of the commencement speakers and everything, said, you're not college material. She had such low expectations of what I could become. And that village said, don't listen to her. Of course you're college material. You can do whatever you want to.
Daisy Jenkins, our guest on the program, the book Heaven on Earth. You'll find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You've been listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. And join us next time for another broadcast of This Week in America.